Welcome to the First Class Lounge. Please take a seat and relax.
All about. Took one look in the mirror, my inside screamed and shouted. You deserve much better than this guy to cut the madness out. You don't wanna leave right now. You gotta be more than you can be right now. You're much better than you used to be right now.
First Class Lounge on the Surrey Hills Soul Train, and our second guest tonight, I've got to pronounce her name correctly, Chawanya Stanley. Did I do well there?
You did absolutely well there.
Ah, there we go. Very warm welcome to the First Class Lounge. How are you today?
I'm amazing. Thank you, Nigel. Let me make sure I get your name correct. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. We've been trying to sort of hook up for a while now. And for those who don't know much about you, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you kind of get into the music industry, and how long ago was it?
Oh, okay. Well, I am a singer and a songwriter. And I have been singing very young, the age of 4. I actually started singing in the church community when I was a young girl, and actually moved to Atlanta, where I started singing professionally in cover bands and doing background for certain celebrities in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and then moved to California, where I embarked into writing for folk, also doing background as well as, you know, pushing out singles for myself, cover songs, things of that nature, and drops for radio stations, jingles, things of that nature. So, yeah, I've been doing this for about, I want to say, maybe about 25 years, but on a background scale. So now I'm doing it on a more national, international scale.
Did you ever be a background singer for anybody famous?
It would be more so some gospel, a lot of gospel entertainers, as well as like I've done work for Tony Terry. I've done work with Tom Brown, Jamaica Funk.
Yeah.
I've worked with, let's see here, a lot on the jazz, Nick Colleone and Marion Meadows. Boy, it's so many people that I've worked with. I should have had a list.
So I guess you've kind of covered all the genres that we kind of play on the station, really. You know, you mentioned gospel there, and you've done gospel background yes. singing. You've worked with smooth jazz artists. So I guess you're kind of quite multi-talented in terms of you don't really mind which genre you go with. Or is there a particular genre that you like to work with more so? Is it the more jazzy sides, more gospel, more R&B?
Well, I, as you said, very well said, I've covered all genres. However, now I am more partial to acoustic soul and also jazz. So, and that kind of falls, it's like R&B, neo soul, jazz. So those are my niche right now.
Yeah, yeah. And what was your first break then? You know, you're saying you've launched a solo career. What kind of decided that you wanted to go solo? You know, I mean, that there are artists and people who will always kind of remain as backing singers. What made yes. you want to be sort of front of the stage rather than behind?
Well, even when I was doing background, I always was a lead. So I was like either a vocalist for hire. I did a lot of cover songs for like Chaka Khan. So I had to do a lot of powerful songs. So it always put me in the lead, and I always was a lead vocalist, was just doing background work. So that was my desire. So, you know, basically I would be doing that on the side, but I just wasn't getting the recognition. It's very difficult to get acknowledgement, and as you probably well know,
yeah.
in this industry. So that was my boot camp, I guess, sharpening my sword. So doing that was giving me knowledge. And then, you know, I would say maybe in my early 20s, I started launching out into even doing the cover bands, but I was doing lead vocalists. But I was, you know, I wanted to do my own music. And it was very hard doing that because the cover bands that I was working with were professional cover bands. So they were paying very well and opening up usually for a label or assigned artist. So it was, you know, a great opportunity, but it wasn't your music. So that's what kind of propelled me into saying, hey, you know, I can do cover music on the side or, you know, background recording work, but I want to do my own projects. So I started doing that, I want to say. That was more in the latter 20s, and you know, getting up to it now, I would say within the last 10 years, I've been really hard about pushing out singles or remix tapes, things of that nature. And last year, I put out two singles, and they actually caught the ears of, you know, radio stations and. Yeah. You know, various people. It was the right time, even though, you know, we had some different issues in the world we live in. It was just the right time for America to start listening to what I was putting out.
Have you always written your own material then?
Absolutely.
What sort of inspiration do you get? You know, I mean, are you sort of sitting in a car, cooking a meal? What gives you that inspiration to write a song?
Well, I've been writing since I was a very young girl, and I was like a poet. I just, you know, things would come to my head. I would, you know, write emotion. Whatever my emotion was, it wasn't a thought out emotion. Like, everybody writes differently. it wasn't as if I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to write a song about blue. You know what I mean? I could write a song about blue, but primarily it was an emotion. And even if I, you know, had something that came to mind, I'd always have my phone or a tape recorder and, you know, recite that verse. Because a lot of times what happens is that's one of those abilities that I learned that I had, is I didn't have to try that way. It would come out. But the thing is, sometimes you have to capture it because you won't remember what you say.
I think that would be my problem. I kind of think of something sometimes. I might even be just at work and I think of something and then I'm like, 10 minutes later, I'm like, I didn't write that down. What the hell was I supposed to be doing? You know? So I guess, yeah, you've got to kind of write it down quickly if you get that inspiration, haven't you?
Absolutely. And your emotion could be up or down. It could be happy or sad. You know, you just have to make sure that, you know, you capture that emotion.
Yeah. Have you kind of got quite a lot of songs in the bank, so to speak, you know, sort of stored away for a rainy day, or when you get the inspiration, you make the music and you've released it?
You know what? I can say, honestly, I have about 500 songs that I've written.
Wow.
Not all recorded, but just in my phone alone, or not my phone, but my tape recorder or whatever device I've used to record it, I could say my computer. Mm. But a lot of those songs are what I go to when I go to release something. If I hear something that sounds like it would fit, I would take that song or a verse and add it to what I was writing too. So yeah.
Gotcha. Definitely. Yeah. Would you ever use any of those songs then, you know, if let's say another artist approached you, male or female, would you sort of give one of your songs to them and say, go away and do something with that?
If it was something that, and you know, this is very, this question is a good question because for me is something that I struggled with. It's very difficult, you know, to give up your song or something that you've written because it's very personal.
Yeah.
A lot of people just write for people, and I've gotten into more writing for folk on, you know, now recently, but I've learned how to try to release certain material that might fit for someone else, or you know, the phrasing. I would just have to, you know, instruct them on how the song would go with like a demo.
Sure.
But it primarily it was very, very difficult for me to do because it was personal. But now I'm able to open up and do that because I feel, you know, if someone else, you know, is able to deliver a song or has more notoriety than me right now, that's a smart business move. And I now own my own publishing. So I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, years ago, I you know, would have to go through other channels to do that and make sure that I was protected, copywritten, and still have to do all those things. But I'm able to, you know, be a little freer with my discography.
Sure, sure. I mean, this year has not been an easy year, has it? How has it affected you both personally and musically?
Well, personally, it has been, you know, my prayers go out to everyone across the world. You know, you over there in the UK, we're here in the United States. It's just everywhere. And it's so sad what we're all dealing with. And the one thing that it is doing, it seems to be bringing a lot of humanity together.
Yes.
I know we've got other things going on in a negative, but I'm a person of light, so I try to focus on that. But it is bringing us together because we're all dealing with this thing, and it's a wake-up call, you know. But then, you know, it gives you a sense of reality because now we're locked down, we're in our homes. For us creative people, whether, you know, whoever speaks to the community or sings to the community or talks to the community, it seems as we have more of a launching pad and we have more ears available. So, you know, on a positive level, it's given us the opportunity to recreate ourselves, you know, kind of internalize what we're thinking and feeling and how we want to reinvent ourselves. And on a different scale, as an entertainer, you know, I had just released two singles and they were just charting internationally and underground as well as, you know, even in, you know, locally is what I'm looking for. Yeah. And it was hard because I was touring with the jazz trumpeter Tom Brown, and then doing my single as well on the side. So I was dual, you know, concerts, and it just had gone on that binge. So it's like, hey, wait, it stopped right in the middle of it. So that was kind of traumatizing, as I'm sure for a lot of other artists.
Yeah.
But it gave me the opportunity, as I mentioned, to gain some more knowledge about being the owner of my own ship and being, you know, being able to be a distributor and owning my own publishing, because we went around an era in 2000 where digital music and ownership is totally different now.
Definitely,
where,
yeah.
You know, so that was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, my other guest this evening was Coco Wade, the Southern Soul singer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She said exactly the same thing as you, is that it's a case of not putting all your eggs in one basket, is it? It's about
yes.
having extra things bolted on to your career, and that's kind of, I guess, helped see you through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said. And then also, it's giving us a new creative platform. I mean, I went to school for marketing and broadcasting. So I've always either been on the radio or in front of the camera, even when I wasn't an entertainer, you know, on the side and background level. But it gave us a chance to use our technology, our computers, and do the Zoom thing.
Yeah.
So now we're doing concerts and we're doing videos. People are listening and downloading your content more because they're at home and they're watching you and
yes.
they're watching what's going on with you. And so, you know, we had an award show last week, and I brought home to one
yes,
national
we did
award.
The BMA Awards. Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
I really should have started by saying congratulations, actually, shouldn't I? Because you did so well, yes.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I got two awards for that. One was for a local, and then the other was national, so I'm over the moon about it. And there again, it was just because all of that hard work that went into last year paid off. I was
yeah.
just everywhere. And then saturated the airways or saturated internet. And being able to let people know, you know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still working. I'm not out of the, don't count me out yet, you know. it's difficult when you're a new artist. And, well, I would say not a new artist, but a new artist to the world. And you're coming out as an independent artist. They may have heard my voice, but they don't necessarily know who I am. Now they know who I am. And right when that happened, boom, we have this COVID. So it kind of
yeah.
monkey wrench. But one monkey doesn't stop this show, I tell you.
Absolutely. I mean, you've kind of touched on the social media side there. How important do you think social media is to promote yourself?
Social media is, to me right now, 90% of getting your content out there and 100% of dealing with your community. I mean, from not just putting content out there, but being able to interact with your content. I mean, excuse me, your community, and being able to let them touch you and find out who you are. And like I said, when you're doing some of the Zoom concerts are pre-recorded, but some of them are live. And then I go on and do other things. You know, I'll do, I have this pod called Get Your Healthy Life, and I talk about healthy living and lifestyle and the things that people can reach out and say what they want to say to me, you know, and I reach back. And a lot of celebrities, once they get to a certain plateau, obviously they're so busy that
yeah.
they can't. But I try to be reachable, you know, at least. If people hit me back, I try to go back and answer certain emails, or, you know, if you're on the live stream, people talk to you or whatever on the replays, I'll respond mm-hmm. and sometimes bring people on. You never know.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got, I've been looking through your social media while I've been doing some research. December the 14th,
hey.
The California Holiday Special. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. And that once again, it was a humbug because it gave me the opportunity to reach out to others for a good cause. This is the third live stream concert that I've done during this period of COVID. And I was called on an opportunity to bring, you know, some Christmas cheer. And so we're going to be live streaming it, and all of the channels and handles are on my social media in regards to donating the funds to independent artists and also the homeless. And I am very, very, very adamant about giving back to the community and reaching out to the homeless community. It's such a tragic time, and that's not just here, all over the world right now. People are suffering. And, you know, we are supposed to help each other. We are supposed to, I'm just a humanitarian in spirit and heart. And so you never can forget, you're one paycheck away or one meal away from being in that same position. So be kind. And so my way of giving back, I may not be able to always go outside and, you know, give back the way I would like to, because I'm one, if I see someone, I'll give you a tent out my trunk, because I go camping sometimes, or I'll give you food, you know, or you know, money to those that I see that are sincerely in need of that, or whatever. But if you can't do that, sometimes what you can do is, if they have access, people have access to their phones, television, they can, you know, get some holiday cheer there. You know, people are talking to them. And then what we earn, we give back to different community services that reach out. And so that's what the holiday program is about. It was a last minute opportunity, and I'm so glad that they brought me on board and they highlighted me. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, you're right in the middle of the poster. If you go onto her Facebook page, you will see it, ladies and gentlemen. She's right in the middle there, all in blue.
Oh my gosh, yes, only being blue. And this commercial was very nice. And like, literally, that happened within a week. Yeah. And they were waiting on me, you know, sign the contract to launch the commercial, because they have a commercial that's in Fresno, where it's originated. And I'm in Los Angeles. And I never met this person, but he sought me out, the director and producer, through when I got my awards through the BMA CEO. And he recommended me with high recommendations. And then, of course, he went through my discography, saw what I've done, listened to my music. And he's like, oh, my God, we've got to have you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Okay. So that's kind of how that came about. I didn't even know a lot about the company. But one thing I did know is an independent network. And I live and love for underground independent networks, which right now are taking over by storm, because once again, you know, our misfortune ended up being our fortune. You know, a lot of us are able to have more of a handle on being able to climb up the ladder, because, you know, the big industry entities cannot really control, you know what I mean? They can't control a lot. They still have their thing going, of course, but other people can have more opportunities right now because it's all virtual. So once again, that gave me an opportunity. And now these commercials that they're putting out are known, you know, nationally, and they're telling me internationally at the same time of my music. I mean, just everything is coming all over the wood, out of the woodwork, and different things happening right now at one time. And I couldn't be more happier.
That's good. As I say, I think the whole thing, the whole concept of the music industry has changed, and has changed forever. I don't think we'll ever go back to how we were before. And whether artists do more live streaming, or whether we get back to concerts in the way that we, and gigs the way we had them before, who knows? But I think that kind of some good has come out of this, insofar as, like you say, families getting together, having the virtual concerts. It's certainly paid off.
Absolutely, it certainly has. I couldn't be more, I guess you would say, grateful for the opportunities. Like I said, my misfortune turned into a fortune. I haven't made a fortune, but definitely within myself, I am, you know, going and doing things in a different and a broader span than I had ever imagined at this time.
Fantastic. All right, let's get a little bit into you yourself, and just sort of asking a few questions. Now, one of the questions I usually ask is, what's your favorite color? Now, you're going to tell me it's blue, aren't you?
You know what? I do love blue, but actually it's red.
Really?
Believe it or not. Now, I've worn a lot of red. I did not have red hair. But I have, and the reason it is red, well, I love all bright colors, red, orange, blue, teal, but the reason red is my favorite color, it's my birthstone.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Cancer, so I love the color of ruby. And the color of ruby, you know, it speaks royalty to me.
Good stuff. Good.
Yes, that's a fun question. What's your favorite color? I like that.
What's over in California? What restaurants do you go to?
Right now, hardly nobody. But I like to go to Venice Beach. I like to go to this place called Crustaceans over in Venice Beach or Santa Monica area. I am a seafood lover, so I love crabs and lobster and that kind of thing. I'm a crab, eating crab. So but yes, I love it. I love anything seafood, so that's where I'm at.
Oh, that's good. Do you cook at home?
Absolutely, I am a cook.
Do you have a specialty dish? That if I came round to your house tomorrow, what would you cook?
Oh my gosh, Nigel, I can cook anything. But my son, believe it or not, my son, he just had a birthday and he just left. That's what I did this morning, was taking him to the airport to turn 30. He loves chicken. He loves fried chicken, believe it or not.
I think everybody loves fried chicken, don't they?
Come on. It's like so basic. It's soul food. It's made with love. Wherever, whatever culture you are, it's made with chicken, always tastes good. But yeah, I love making that, spaghetti. I love seafood, as I mentioned, and healthy food. Mm. I've been on a healthy kick. So I make the sea moss blend and it's really good. You know, just to help, you know, with your health and your digestion, things of that nature, because in the world that we are and all these things plaguing us, we have to take care of our body. So I've been paying more attention to being health conscious. Juicing, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah, we should all do that, really, shouldn't we?
Yes, we should. I mean, and you only have one life to live. And you definitely got to take care of your body. And I don't know how old some folks are, but the older you get, the more important it is.
Absolutely. Look after yourself. As you get older, definitely. So if you were, first of all, a two-part question for you. Where in the world, apart from California, would you like to live? If you could afford it, and I said, there's $1 million, go and buy a house somewhere, where would you go?
France. I would love to go to France.
Really?
And
can you speak French?
Absolutely. Oh, I know. And then...
Bonjour?
I actually... What is it?
Bonjour?
Bonjour. I only say merci beaucoup. And it's so funny because I have a following there, and I thank you for, you know, expanding that over. It's a very small following in the UK and London and over in you know, France, and people are like on my Facebook, hi from Patty, and you know, they I have to put some translator button because I don't understand everything, but it's so flattering for me, and that door was open. Not only from some of the networks that I went through independently, as I mentioned, but through the Tom Brown. When I'm working with him, he's been around for some years.
Oh, and, he has, yes.
Yes, and he has such a following over there, and they love him. So when we started getting big, you know, doing these arena shows, you know, if people around the world watch that, and they started opening up their hearts and doors to me, you know, and it just is like, okay. But for me, I just like... from what I've researched, the culture, just anywhere over there. So you could say France, the UK, but Paris was always because it's a place of love.
It's quite romantic.
But
I like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know, I just love the culture there, even there where you're at, just because, it's a little bit, to me, it appears more liberal. I know people that have gone, over there. Do they say across the pond?
Yeah, across the pond, yeah.
Across the pond, yes. And actually, once again, right before this, when my singles hit, I was going on a tour. And so I was I was already scheduled to be in the Netherlands, London.
Oh,
I was going to Yes, I was scheduled in Johannesburg, Africa. Wow. And it just stopped my whole tour.
So sad. Yeah. So sad.
Yeah. I think I'd probably go over there and not come back for a while. You know, so many artists have done that. Tina Turner has done that. Chaka Khan, who is one of my idols, has done that. You know, just down the list, there's so many. Josephine Baker, she went over there, came back, and went over there and stayed. I mean, it's just one of those things where it lets you know the diversity is different. You know, the culture is different. And I, and the food, oh my God, I can't wait.
Well, hopefully you will get back to Europe very, very soon. But if you were coming to France then and you had to travel light and you couldn't, sure. So you couldn't bring anything else with you but one artist, one record, one vinyl, one CD, who would it be?
Oh, my God, don't do that.
I'll put you on the spot now.
You sure are, because I am a, well, you would think I just like once, I'm all over the place. I'm old jazz, like, he's a one. Okay, Jesus. My God. I mean, because Prince, okay, let me tell you about him. I took up playing guitar because Prince is another, him and Chaka Khan and Whitney Houston were one of my idols in my era.
Yeah.
Major influences, but my style is like Chaka Khan and Sarah Vaughan, and yeah. old school classic jazz, Nina Simone, and those kind of folks.
You've kind of got that voice. You've got that sort of mix between Chaka Khan and Nina, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and the way I articulate my words and everything, I studied. I, like I said, I've been singing in front of a microphone since a very young girl. And then I was in courses, I was in school of art, so I, and choirs, I mean, I'm talking about every year. So that was sharpening my sword and schooling and teaching you how to use your vocal box. And so when you have an artist that you study that you're similar to, I get that a lot. A lot of people say, you sound like Chaka Khan. I don't try to, but maybe that's because I studied her so hard. And then my voice is similar. I have that raspy tone. So those are the kind of ways, you know, how to kind of hit certain notes if you're not having a good vocal day. You kind of got to bring it down, you know, a notch. And I sang four octaves my whole life. But as I got older, my soprano got a lot deeper. So, yeah, now if I had to bring a vinyl, gosh, you got me there. I love Prince. I would say that I love him, all of his old classics all the way up. You'll never get tired. He's got so many different styles of deliverance. I love him because I want to get going, I can listen to him. If I want to wind it down, I can listen to him. If I want to hear some real art, I can listen to him. Just to start, it would be him.
Excellent. And and finally, what are you doing for Thanksgiving Day?
You know what? Thanksgiving, I'm probably going to do. I'm going to cook here at my home. My brother's in the Navy in San Diego. He's probably going to come and visit me. And, you know, my son just left. So I'm just going to kind of take it easy at home.
Yeah. It's going to kind of be quite different, I guess, this year. It's going to be not, in some ways getting families together, possibly over virtual Zoom calls and what have you. Might not be able to get together because of traveling and restrictions and everything, but.
It's so sad. I was supposed to go to Wisconsin, where I'm a native of, to visit my relatives for Christmas. And I don't know. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do it. They're not. We got tickets, everything. We're just sitting there drumming our fingers. And it's so sad. I haven't really seen my family other, like you said, than Zoom and things of that nature. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But do you want to be healthy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know? We've got to stay healthy. That's the most important thing. And hopefully in 2021, things will get a little bit more back to normal, at least, we hope.
Right.
Definitely.
I hope so, because I want to get over there with you guys.
Yeah, we want to see you. We want to see you. We want to see you perform, and it'll be absolutely so nice. It will be so nice.
Oh, man, I love to do it. I love to do it. Like I said, that old school training, that was one of my awards. I got Best Live Performer, and I've done that a few years in a row. When I get on that stage, I just put it all out there. you know, another interviewer asked me last week, like, what do you do when you get on stage? How do you get over that fear? Are you nervous? You're always nervous. You know, I don't care how professional
you still get nervous, do you?
Yes, 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 Nigel, I do. And but one of the things is, it's an energy rush. Once you get out there, you jump back into your skin, you get over those few rumbles in your stomach, and the adrenaline rush hits you. You just go. You just trust it. And then you're just on fire. When I get off, sometimes I'm shaking because I'm excited, and not because of fear or anything like that. It's like a jolt. Like they plugged me in, you know?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you this evening. It's been really, really interesting. We wish you luck in the future, and hopefully there'll be more projects in 2021. And we'll be seeing you over in Europe and hopefully in the UK very, very soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me today, or this evening. I really, really appreciate it. And you know, all of my handles, you know, I'm sure Nigel will have those posted on there. Please go to my Facebook, go to my Instagram, go to my Twitter. Tickets, if you want to see that performance, will be on, it's on menews.com for the holiday extravaganza, I guess you would say. It's a holiday special. And then of course all of my music is on every single platform, you know, digitally, that you can find, and you can download, stream, everything's on YouTube. Check me out.
There you go. What a perfect advert to end in the First Class Lounge this evening.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for having me on the First Class Lounge.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope the seat was nice and comfortable for you.
Oh, man, it's cozy as ever. Got my tea right here, sitting in a good spot, curled up with my little dogs. I couldn't be more happy. And your voice is just enchanting.
Oh, thank you. Joanna, Joanna, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thanks now.
Thank you for having me, Nigel. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Or evening, day or night. Bye-bye. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Now you gotta pay the dues for sure.